Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And a happy Wednesday to you all today as we continue on throughout this bye week. Should be an interesting one. The trade deadline has come to an end. Which that is also, depending on who you are, disheartening or entertaining.
Unless you're the Jets, I guess, you know. They got a couple of draft picks out of the deal. Did you guys see the video of the poor kid Jet fan crying when they got rid of Sauce Gardner and his dad told them? I mean, that's like some sort of just messing with your kid. Put the video camera phone in his face and go, hey, the Jets traded Sauce Gardner.
What the hell?
Well, because it was time, man. It was just time to go.
Great trade for the Jets.
I thought so, too. I don't know what the Colts are doing in that trade, absorbing all of that money. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, that is a really good question, right?
Pot.
I mean, does Dan Orlovsky, this guy, let me tell you about him, okay? Number one, he always looks very tired, right? Does he always look very tired to you?
Exhausted.
Exhausted, right? Like, it looks like he's just been through hell and back every time I see him
on
TV. That is a good point. Charles ain't letting him get to that level, right? And so I'm watching Orlovsky yesterday, who looks like he's ready to fall asleep. He's so tired and whatnot. And he utters the line of, now the Indianapolis Colts are like officially the only defensive backfield that is built to stop Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and they will do that in the playoffs. I don't know that I've seen anybody in the Nationals or even locally get caught up in the moment more than Dan Orlovsky gets caught up in the moment of what is going on at that point in time. I found that wild yesterday to hear that now the Indianapolis Colts secondary is the only one built to stop Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Maybe in the AFC.
I mean, I just thought that was wild to me.
I mean, look, the Colts are doing the, what did we say this was, Mac, the San Francisco 49ers strategy?
Yeah, build all up in. This,
in the
Rams strategy, too.
It is the Rams strategy, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, the Rams have a elite Hall of Fame quarterback, I would say.
They went all in to get and sacrifice their picks for him.
Yeah, they did say F them picks. Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty good line by them, so.
Right, but I mean, they did it for a quarterback. Not, you know, a corner, you know, offensive line, a receiving core, a tight end. They went and got Matthew Stafford, and it paid off because.
But they did more than Stafford, didn't they? With those, with
Von
with
Miller, that, Von Jalen Miller. Ramsey.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. They brought a lot of people in and gave up a lot of picks. Yeah.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that when it comes to winning a Super Bowl, outside of Jalen Hurts, it's been an elite quarterback that's won the Super Bowl.
Yep, very true. Yep.
I think the quarterbacks that have won it outside of Jalen Hurts, if I'm wrong, please correct me. Mahomes, Stafford, Brady, Flacco, which at the time Flacco was elite, and he's still obviously looking like he could do it at age 41.
I mean, he's elite. There's no more you can say about Joe Flacco. This guy's putting up 40 points a game, man.
Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Manning.
Yep. Manning. Both Mannings.
I mean, like,
yeah.
And then before that, you go back even further and say Breeze. But, I mean, it's those quarterbacks that win it. Like, San Francisco put a ton of talent around Brock Purdy and Jimmy Garoppolo, how to work out. Mm-hmm. They lost to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl because the quarterback eventually set up above everybody else. You look at the Bengals and the Rams. Stafford ended up winning that Super Bowl because of, obviously, some key pieces, as well as Aaron Donald in his prime, Matthew Stafford still in his prime. They won the Super Bowl against the Bengals, who didn't have an offensive line. Tom Brady, obviously, quarterback elite status with the Bucs, obviously with the Patriots as well. And now you're seeing the Colts kind of take that same strategy and say, okay, we have Daniel Jones, who has been good this year. He leads, I think, or he's in the top five in passing
yards. He's been really good this year. He's been outstanding. I saw somebody also
read.
Yes, absolutely.
He's lost to what two teams?
He lost to Denver. No, he beat Denver.
No, he lost
right.
to the Rams, the Rams, and he lost to the Steelers. Okay, what do the Steelers and the Rams have this year?
Yeah, good quarterbacks, right? Yeah, good exactly. quarterback play. Well, and I think that's what the Jets are showing you, you know, also. I did see somebody refer to Daniel Jones as an elite quarterback yesterday. I'm going to hit the pause button
was
on that
Orlovsky
one too.
Caught the moment?
It wasn't Orlovsky. It was on X, and I forget who it was. And I'm like, they were listening like everything the Pats or the Colts have. And they're like the elite quarterback. I'm like, he's playing really good right
it's been
now.
8 weeks, man.
Why are we so quick to put Daniel Jones into that elite category? But with, you mentioned Jalen Hurts not being it. Jalen Hurts has been to two Super Bowls, and I got people out here telling me Daniel Jones is elite, but Jalen Hurts is not elite. And if you want to say Jalen Hurts is not elite, that's fine. But you can't tell me Daniel Jones is elite. I'm not buying any of that nonsense.
No, that's
right.
Prisoner of the moment.
Yeah, that is prisoner of the moment, if you ask me. And so,
because last year we were doing the same thing about Sam Darnold, which he's having a good year for Seattle. We did the same thing about Sam Darnold last year, and then he got to the playoffs, and what happened?
Yeah, he pooped the bed. Yeah.
Last 2 weeks of the season, not good.
Right.
Playoffs, not good.
Not great. Yeah.
So Justin Herbert, playoffs, not good.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
People get older, people change, people get new systems, and we'll see if Indianapolis can do. But so far, Indianapolis lost two games, and both those games are to two playoff teams.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones has won that playoff game. He beat the Vikings a couple of years ago with the Giants. I mean, they won like 35-0 or something like that. It was a blowout of you know, great proportions in that game. So he does have, but he's not an elite quarterback. We've got to stop, you know, being that prisoner of the moment. And what the Jets, I think, showed you yesterday is now they are all in, Dusty, of getting that elite quarterback, whether that's in the draft or whether that's going out there and using those picks to make a trade. And there are guys that you can go out there and make trades for, right? You mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. He seemingly is always available, or whoever the case may be. I think with the way that the Jets went about their business and the way that they loaded up on first round draft picks, there is going to be a blockbuster quarterback trade this offseason. And the Jets now have the collateral to be able to do that. And I'm talking to you, Cincinnati, and I'm talking to the Bengals right now, because what you're seeing right now is Joe Burrow doesn't matter to your franchise.
Joker Joe.
I hate to be that guy. I hate to say that out loud because people think it's ridiculous. Joe Burrow does not matter to your franchise. You're putting up 38 to 41 points per game without Joe Burrow as your quarterback. The Jets have three first-round draft picks that they now have and acquired yesterday, right? Why not, if you're the Jets, offer all three of those first-round draft picks to Joe Burrow?
Yeah, because they have one in 27, two in 26.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Two and 26, one and 27.
Well, two and 27, because they'll have their own plus another one, right? Isn't that what, like, don't they have like four first-round picks or something in the next two drafts or something bizarre
something like that?
It's an insane amount of number, right? Because they have their two picks in the next two drafts, and then they have two more picks from Indianapolis. So you've got four first-round draft picks sitting there. If you're the Jets, you call them and you say, we need that quarterback. We need that leader. We need that presence. I'll give you four first-round draft picks right now to have a guy like Joe Burrow walk through the door. That's a move that you need to make, because to Dusty's point, you're not winning the Super Bowl if you don't have an elite quarterback. And if you don't have an elite quarterback, you're a 9-8 type of football team. You're spinning your wheels. You're celebrating Sauce Gardner and you know, Garrett Wilson and all these guys who aren't doing anything for you right now. you need to go out there and you need to get that elite quarterback. And I think that's what the Jets said yesterday. We're stockpiling first round picks so we can use these as collateral to go out and get that quarterback that we have not had basically since I don't even know who.
Yeah, because they're not drafting one.
I don't know that that guy's available in the draft that's going to move the needle, like if you could do with Joe Burrow. Wouldn't you rather give up three or four first-round draft picks to get Joe Burrow and then draft the guy who would maybe a maybe?
And the other thing they have is they have the collateral of having probably what I would assume would be the first overall pick in the draft.
I would imagine. Yes, exactly.
Right? One in seven, and you just took a top-five defense and said, F it.
Yeah.
With a defensive coordinator at coach. I mean, you got rid of Quinn Williams. He goes to Dallas.
Yep.
And you get their first-round pick. You sent Sauce Gardner to Indianapolis, and you got their first-round pick.
Two!
And the one in the future.
Two first-round picks.
And then, yeah. So, I mean, look, I think you're 100% right on your hunch that they're going to go try and get somebody and try to bring them into New York. Who that is, I have no idea.
And Kyler Murray does not count as a blockbuster trade move this offseason. If they go get Kyler Murray,
it's
man.
It's just Justin Fields 2.0.
Yeah, it really is. A little bit
better than Justin Fields, but it's the same situation.
The only move for me that's going to not surprise, but get people excited, I think, would be Joe Burrow. Who else would be out there that you could look at right now and say, let me give you four first-round draft picks and have a good quarterback that may be in that kind of rebuild mode too, you know?
I'll give you a name and a system. Lamar Jackson.
That's a good one too.
Yep.
I like that call.
Does Baltimore blow it up? You know, if they miss the playoffs or the season goes south. Now it's starting to look a little bit better in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
The defense looks like it's kind of back and healthy. Obviously, I think we were kind of unfair to Caleb Williams because we're like, oh, he's got the Baltimore defense. See what he can do. And they shut him down. And everyone says, well, maybe that defense is starting to get healthy again and get better. And then their last game, I know it was Miami. Miami can score. And Miami put up 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Ravens will go into this week. We'll see what happens. But I could see, like, if they do a total rebuild, they're like, hey, we're moving on from John Harbaugh. We're going to move on from Lamar Jackson. We're going to take, you know, four number one picks in the next 2 years and try to develop our team and find somebody. Now, I don't think Baltimore will do that. But if we're being, you know, dramatic in the situation of the 24 hours after the, not even 24 hours, but 12 hours after the trade deadline, you know, that's a name that could pop. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you think about the situation.
No, I think you're onto something. I absolutely do.
But yeah, I don't know. Or, you know, maybe there's a guy that they pull the Alex Smith trade with where they say, hey, we'll go get, you know, this guy who's a backup, who's going to lead this team for the first year. We're going to draft a quarterback, let him learn under the system. And then the next year we're going to draft a wide receiver and X player with a couple other first round picks and then go forward with it. But yeah, the Jets are definitely telling you right now that that defenses don't win championships and that you need to rebrand your team because it's 1-7 and they were dramatic yesterday. Dallas dramatic yesterday. Indianapolis dramatic yesterday. So we'll see the rest of the season. Chiefs hold pat. Bills hold pat.
Yep. Everybody pretty much held pat except the Jets and the Cowboys yesterday. You know, I mean, that's kind of what
Seattle
it ended up being.
And got Shaheed.
Yeah, that's a nice addition.
Very nice addition. Because now you just blow up in the top and let JSN run whatever underneath.
Right.
And then you have your two running backs set in Kenny Walker and Zach Charbonnet to see what they can continue to do with Sam Darnold in that offense. So we'll see if they peak Max Pack coming up a little bit later. Plus, we have Bob's Bottom Feeders. Interesting stat last night. Women's basketball started.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys watched any of it. Probably not. Cal State Northridge women's basketball started season opener on a 72-0 run.
Oh, my God.
There were 4 minutes and 33 seconds left, and Cal State Northridge was up 72-0.
I'm glad you...
In a basketball game. They put a donut on the board.
For a national donut game. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because Josh sent me a text last night. He goes, this is the week to start reading random names of college basketball teams that get their ass kicked in week one because I'm sure there's a lot of lopsided scores like that in college basketball. If you look through the ledger of what took place yesterday, but you're right, it is. It's National Donut Day, but 72-0 run. Doolittle would have loved that back in the day, right?
No doubt about it. It is National Donut Day today. So text line 913-586-7965. Send us your favorite donut. I've been telling you, been watching the Internet Invitational with the YouTube golfers. This back and forth conversation between Fat Perez, that's his name, not his real name, but FP, he's a legend in our book, and Trent from Barstool.
You know, Frost, that's the only play.
That's
the only play.
Yeah?
The only thing I like more than that is strawberry frosted sprinkles.
Special occasion?
Yeah.
When I wake up feeling it, when I wake up and my first thought is strawberry frosting.
Mm-hmm. Do you like jelly filled?
Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Do you?
Yes.
Once I get to the jelly in this donut, where is it going to go?
It's fair.
And what am I going to look like once it's over?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have you looking like a fool.
Right.
So the banter we all needed of Fat Perez and Trent talking about their donut. Mine is obviously the one that I always go with, which is just the cinnamon twist.
Is it really? You go with then?
I guess. I mean, there's no filling. It's just a beautiful, organized, put-together donut. And then the Long John with nothing in the middle.
Nothing in the middle.
Nothing worse than that Bavarian cream to surprise your lips.
I love that. When he said jelly donut, I just started going, I like a good jelly donut. You know, there was a donut shop called Hertz Donuts that was here for a hot minute. It was out of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And we went to OU one year for KU-OU basketball. Had an earthquake that night. Whoa. And it was like, what is going on here? I mean, like the place is shaking. It was like a 4 on the Richter scale.
Before I die, I'm getting a Hertz donut.
Yeah, I tell you what. But that Hertz donut's open 24 hours and after, you know, much. So maple bacon they had. Smash. Maple bacon Long John, which was solid very, bun. Very good. I also just like the standard old fashioned from Dunkin', man. Like it's just a normal, easy cake type of donut. Solid. I like their chocolate cake donut as well at Dunkin'.
So. I like a good cronut.
Oh, that's a good one. I love the cronut is good. Yeah. Good call on that. Yeah.
What's a cronut?
Smash.
It's like a croissant donut.
Yeah. A croissant donut. It's just flaky. Airy, light. Beautiful. It is doughy. Good. It's great.
Yeah, that is wonderful. Good, that's a good pull. Yeah. That made me excited. You can't,
a jelly donut.
Oh, a glazed. There we go. Glazed cronut from the 816.
Oh, a glazed cronut. Love that's that. Good. See, I'm not into the standard glazed donut. That doesn't do a lot for me. Ooh. But I'll do the glazed cronut.
A good old fashioned glaze from Lamar's. Just
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
There was.
It's got to be a cake though. It can't be the that light donut.
That airy,
yeah, like I've got to have a cake. I got to have a dense donut.
Gotcha.
There was nothing better than when we would go down to the after the church service and go into our room, and there was the yellow box.
Nice.
And you just popped it open. Hopefully nobody had picked one yet. Because, you know, people were like, I don't want that. Like, dude, don't lick your fingers first.
Just take a napkin, man. Seriously.
Or if it's here at the station, just random crumbs of donuts. What was that? Like a corner of two donuts were left in the donut box?
Oh, that was
I'm
brutal.
Only going to have a little bit because I'm on a diet and hell? This won't hurt.
I'm starving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just eat the damn donut.
Yeah, because what was it? It was Slim Fast came over. And he was like, hey, Laszlo and I bring donuts on Friday. Feel free to go over there. He was trying to, like, you know, incorporate both sides of the radio station. And Mac and I went over there, and there were two pieces of donuts left where people had broken apart and walked on.
It's like,
what are you doing?
BBL, stinky.
Take the damn donut. Throw it away.
Commit.
I mean, yeah. Nobody wants your leftover donut.
What do you think Danny Duffy's most famous quote is?
It's a bear suit, Joel.
I would say bury me a royal.
That's good, too. Yeah.
That's what we're going to do with Salvador Perez on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus every Friday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Suero delivers. Salvi rips it. Left center field. Down into the gap. That's a base hit. Hampson takes off for third. He rounds the bag. The Astros don't even bother to pick it up. Hampson scores standing. The Royals win the game. El Capitan comes through in the clutch. He delivers a game-winning hit in the bottom of the 10th, and the Royals beat the Astros 4-3. Consecutive games. They've taken the series opener against the Astros. And who else but Salvador Perez?
Never get tired of hearing that. That was
Suero delivers.
Who?
Suero.
Suero. Honest to God, I've never heard of that person.
The legend is Suero. When he strikes you out, he does an S.
Does an S.
That's right.
The pitch. Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball. Up the left field line. Here's Cologne. And the Royals win it.
That was our gateway, man. Yep. That was our gateway call for the next 11 years of gloriousness, right?
Salvador Perez yesterday, if you missed it, is staying home. He's going to retire a Royal, you would think. $25 million split into two separate years, so $12.5 million next year and the year following. Salvador Perez, forever Royal. That will go ahead and etch his name as the second, if it hasn't already been, the second greatest Royal of all time.
Yeah.
There's a lot to dive into with this as I was driving here this morning and thinking about this. Who's the greatest Yankee of all time?
I mean,
it's easy. It's Babe Ruth.
Okay.
You would say.
I would say.
That's when you ask a Yankee who's the favorite Yankee of all, Babe Ruth, not a lifetime Yankee.
No, not a, but Mickey Mantle, I think, would, or Yogi Berra would probably come up more with Yankee fans than maybe Babe Ruth would. Okay. But either way, but yeah, but not, I mean, Babe was not a lifetime Yankee at all. No.
Right. You look at, who's the greatest Seattle Mariner of all time?
Ichiro.
Ken Griffey Jr. Randy Johnson.
How many of those? Buehner.
Did they play their entire career?
No, none of them did, yeah.
Right. So this is why I think it's more special to me with Salvador Perez.
Mm-hmm.
Salvador Perez will play for one team for the rest of his career, for his entire career, and will be a Hall of Fame player. And I think a lot of times when you look at people that go into the Hall of Fame, I think that there are accolades that you have to hit, right? A lot of people say, oh, once you get to 500 home runs, you're in, minus the steroid career, right? If you have 3,000 hits, you're probably in. If you have, you know, whatever the RBI number is, it goes with a career batting average, you're in. Did you win a couple of World Series? Were you an MVP a multiple amount of times? A lot of people say that Joe Mauer should be in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is or not. I don't think he is yet.
How do you feel about that? If you have to go, because I've always been under the impression, and it's changed a lot over the years,
right,
but I've always been under the impression if we have to go, he's not in, he probably isn't a Hall of Famer. Like, I feel like with a Hall of Famer, it should be automatic. Like, you know that guy's a Hall of Famer. That's kind of how I've always looked at it. And I've been wrong in those situations. I'll tell you that right now. But usually I just kind of look at it and go, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
So he is in the Hall of Fame. Joe Mauer is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he is in. Yeah.
MVP once, three-time gold glove, three-time batting title, five-time silver slugger, six-time all-star. Sounds a lot like Salvador Perez, minus the league MVP, but Salvador Perez, obviously a World Series MVP, a World Series champion, a gold glove multiple times, a multiple-time all-star. I think he's won the silver slugger before at catcher. And now you get to hone in. The other bonus point is one team, one career.
Mm-hmm.
Salvador Perez, as of right now, is the second greatest Royal of all time. That could be passed in a few years if Bobby Witt Jr. does decide to stick around for his career. And maybe he doesn't even have to for the next 4 years. If he continues to do things that he does, Bobby Witt Jr. will be the second, or could be the greatest Royal of all time,
yep,
if George Brett has anything to say with it. But again, statue, retired number. You can take the 20 away and you can throw the 13 up there.
Mm-hmm.
Captain of his team.
Yep.
Loved unanimously around the league. Salvador Perez yesterday, yes, it's in the middle of the football season. Yes, it's baseball. Yes, it's Kansas City Royals. So, of course, we're going to talk about it. But that, to me, is the underlining thing to me that sticks out the most, is that Royal forever. And you look at all these great players in their career. Barry Bonds, not a career-long Giant. Babe Ruth, not a career-long Yankee. Ken Griffey Jr., not a career-long Mariner. Even Randy Johnson, mm-hmm, Roger Clemens. All these guys were not career-long players. And I know Roger Clemens is in the Hall of Fame, but you could put your mind there. Salvador Perez, through the ups, through the downs. And then the other thing that sticks into my mind is that if I'm Carter Jensen, I'm calling Salvador Perez today and say, let's get in the lab. I've got 2 years. We know how fast 2 years will go by.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm Carter Jensen, I'm saying, all right, man, give me everything you have. Let's do this. I want to do exactly what you kind of did, be the leader, be a captain, be a guy that can be productive throughout his career in Kansas City. But yesterday it was announced the Royals are going to keep Salvador Perez here, forever Royal, bury him a Royal, second greatest Royal of all time. Gonna get me to Cooperstown.
And yeah,
I'll admit that right now. When he goes to Cooperstown, I will drive there and watch him get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
As
in fact, we should do the show for that.
I mean,
the
company
week
should pay for us to go to Cooperstown. We're not driving. Let's not plant that seed, Mac, okay? We're going to make Spectre pay for this trip. And I kid, but no. But
I think
serious.
A lot of Kansas City should be there.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you look back at the videos of 99 when George got in and how many people were there and how packed it is. But, and I mean, this is a different one.
I was 12 years old and watched the entire day. I watched Nolan and Robin's speeches.
I mean, you just gave me good goosebumps with that because that was a class, bro. Like the maybe the greatest class of all time going in. But the Salvador Perez thing, look, we were talking at the end of last year about, you know, getting Salvador Perez's option picked up. And we kind of figured by the end of the year they would pick up the option and you know, split it up the way that they did, add another year on and let's go. Because what the options were a 13-year, one more year deal for the option year or a $2 million buyout. Well, you don't want to buy Salvador Perez out. You want to keep him here. So you add one more year on. And he's going to get a little bit less this year, but he gets $12.5 million more than he would have had next year. And so everybody's happy and everybody kind of moves on and does their thing. And there's so many different tentacles that you just kind of talked about with Salvador Perez that we could, you know, discuss for hours on end if we had to. But I'm looking at Salvador Perez from being that all-time Royal. And I know it's very important to John Sherman and his group and really important to John, quite frankly, because I've heard this from a number of people now, to get that next Royal into the Hall of Fame. A lot of people believe it is going to be Zach Greinke. But again, to Dusty's point, not a lifelong Royal, but pitched with Kansas City more than any other organization and wants to go into the Hall of Fame wearing that Royals cap. The Salvi one, though, will be the special one because Salvador Perez kind of really, truly is the guy who signified the turn for the Kansas City Royals. He was that first guy that was brought up. I remember exactly where I was. I was sleeping at a casino in Topeka, Kansas when he came up because we were doing the show at that Firekeeper golf course. I don't know if you've ever played Firekeeper.
No.
And great golf course, great casino, great folks out there. So we were spending the night because we were doing the show out there the next morning, and that was his first game in Tampa. And I remember being so excited to watch Salvador Perez because that was the guy, going to be one of the guys that was going to turn this organization. And boy, did he turn this organization, right? I mean, look at the stuff that Salvador Perez has seen now with this organization. Two separate eras of winning here in Kansas City, losing in between, obviously. But Salvi has a smile on his face every single day, and that's the captain of your organization. That's the second greatest player in franchise history, and he deserves to finish his career here in Kansas City and, you know, play every single game of his major league career as a member of the Kansas City Royals. I do think that is very special. We do not see that in professional sports at all, you know, where guys finished their career. You know, I mean, Tom Brady didn't finish his damn career with the New England Patriots. So this shows you how rare
Peyton
it is.
Manning.
And Peyton Manning.
Drew
I mean, the list goes on and on Joe and on Flacco. And on. Everybody, right? Like, I'm sure Mahomes is going to play for the 49ers at some point.
Who's,
you know?
Who's the greatest 49er of all time?
What's Joe Montana,
who's
right?
Who's the other one?
Yeah, Steve Young. Neither
who's
of
the
them.
Who's the other one?
Jerry Rice.
None of them.
None of them were lifetimers. None of them were lifetimers. Absolutely.
Steve wasn't a lifetimer? He went somewhere else?
He was started his career with Tampa.
That's right. And Canadian Football League, is that right?
USFL. Yeah.
USFL.
Yep.
Be easier to name the guys who did stay. Yeah.
Because that's what it was. Baseball used to be that way. Ripken, Brett, Schmidt, those guys all, same team. You just stopped seeing that because money started becoming more of an option.
Yeah.
Where I remember when my grandmother would tell me, my step-grandmother, Miss Peggy, she told me, she's like, I remember when George Brett got his first $1 million contract. We're like, what the F? I'm like, have you seen him today? She goes, I can't. I was like, yeah, dude, that's why they're going other places, because, you know, teams like Miami will randomly pay somebody, like, you know, whatever. But yeah, back to your point, like, you just don't see anymore.
You don't,
and I think that's an accolade that Salvador Perez, that's, you know, and that's the greatest thing about Salvador Perez. That's like the fifth notch on his Hall of Fame resume. World Series MVP, Gold Glove, Premier All-Star, Silver Slugger, World Series champion.
300 and 1,000 now, too. So we don't even have to worry about chasing that for the next
he's
2 years.
He's your first ballot Hall of Famer.
He is. He's a lock for the
Hall
of Fame.
Which is even a more impressive stat.
Yep.
Because, like, you know, that alone, you know, you look at guys that aren't first ballots. Like, I don't know how many people that are on the first ballot this year that actually get in. Gordon is on that ballot. He's never getting in the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not. No.
Great Royal. Fantastic career, but he's not getting in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Let alone second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year of eligibility on the ballot. Won't get in. Salvador Perez on the first year of a ballot will be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably get 80-plus percentage of the votes.
As he should. And if you're not voting for Salvador Perez, then you're the same guy who didn't
expired.
Vote for... you're the same guy who didn't vote for Itro or Nolan or George or...
And
you
not
know.
Only that, but Salvador Perez is one of the few athletes. Hosmer's up there as well. Mahomes is kind of up there where, like, they are that person... phone, camera, microphone, locker room, field, on the field that they are off the field.
Yeah.
Like we saw the video, was it last year or 2 years ago? Salvador Perez is during the All-Star game and he's going to neighborhoods in Lee Summit and wherever it was, Waterfield or Lakewood or wherever that he lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, you guys are playing football? You mind if I play? Go, man.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, get in there, dude. Like, do it, dude. And it was a great day yesterday to see El Capitan be forever royal for the next 2 years and end his career in KC.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And back to the Carter Jensen thing, because that's an interesting point you brought up. And I think I've shared this on the air before. And again, correct me if I'm wrong or remind Alex me of my take. The Alex Smith take. Yeah, it was, because I've had people in the organization say that Salvi's gone up to them and says, give me the kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you need to know. Give me the kid. I'll take care of him. And so the Royals, because, I mean, John, being a huge Chiefs fan, obviously, you're going to steal from the organizations that do good things. We all watch the Alex Smith thing. And now we have the opportunity to have this happen on the baseball side of things. And they've got the willing participant in Salvador Perez. And you've got the young kid who obviously, you know, grew up watching Salvador Perez, now gets the opportunity to learn from this guy. It's going to be outstanding if the kid is willing to just listen to Salvi and take in everything. And Salvi, I've been told, is willing to listen. I think it's going to be a great marriage. I think we're seeing the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes 2.0 when the Royals transition from Salvador Perez to Carter Jensen. Now, it's probably not going to be as eye-opening, obviously, as a quarterback is in the NFL, right? You could see that guy on every stage. But to have the next 2 years basically riding shotgun next to the first ballot Hall of Famer, the greatest catcher in franchise history, if you're Carter Jensen and you're not just glued to his hip for the next 650 days or whatever, the 700 days, you're a fool. I just tell you that right now. You've got God's gift given to you right now for the next 2 years. Embrace that, man. Embrace that.
And you don't have to worry about that because you know where Carter Jensen's from.
That's right.
What Carter Jensen did. He grew up watching Salvador Perez.
Right.
And he's going to grow up even further watching him exit the building and give everything that he knows to him.
Yep.
And the similarities to Alex Smith is that Carter Jensen has the God-given talent to play baseball. Patrick Mahomes had the God-given talent to play football. But what he didn't have was the knowledge of how defenses were going to adjust, what they were going to set up in, how they were going to move for pre-snap.
How to run out of bounds and not get hit.
And then you have Salvador Perez saying, hey, man, don't do what I do and swing at everything that's a foot outside. But here's what they're going to do for you. They're going to try and these counts, they tend to do this. And these situations, they're going to do this. And it's going to make you a better player, because it's no secret last year between Caglione and Carter Jensen and Noah Cameron, Cags was nowhere on the same level of the call-up, you know, showcase that those other two guys were. And that's coming from the biggest Cags supporter in the world. And Carter Jensen was fantastic when he got called up. And Noah Cameron was fantastic getting called up. And guess who also can pick off of Salvador Perez? All of these pitchers that are coming up through your system that are the Noah Camerons, the Bubiches, the, you know, the Reagans, the even the Seth Lugos can learn a little bit more with this guy behind the plate, who can teach pitchers and these young hitters what they can do to succeed in this league. And he's not going anywhere for 2 years to keep continuing to make this team better.
And it's better than any coach you can go out there and hire. It really is. You know, the players respect the players. They respect the veteran players. They respect a guy like Salvador Perez. To have him in that locker room for the next 2 years with pitchers, with Carter Jensen, is outstanding. And now you got the opportunity to trade that other guy who, what's the kid's name? The other catcher that we have down in the minor leagues?
Blake Mitchell.
Blake Mitchell. Very much tradable now, because you got Salvi for 2 years and you've got Carter Jensen.
Do you see yourself saying yes that Salvador Perez will manage someday?
You know,
he has every accolade that a manager could be.
He does, but this day and age, you know, he doesn't need the money. And guys, former players would manage because they needed the dough, and coach because, I mean, look at these guys that are getting hired now as managers.
Walt Weiss.
Yeah, well, he needed the money because he played right before it got good in Major League Baseball. Somebody hired a 33-year-old to be the manager I just saw the other day or something like that.
And the guy from Tennessee, Max Guy, he got hired by the Giants. I love that hire, by the way.
These guys, it's a completely different hire, and I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I know people in baseball are like, all right, well, just never don't happened get before. This higher. Well, because it's different, it's new, it's unique. You didn't like the pitch clock ever either, and now you're in love with
one of the
it,
players
right?
that he recruited at Tennessee is on that Giants team that's kind of charismatic and kind of loud and flamboyant. I forget what it is, Dylan something.
It's going to be interesting to see how the players respond to him and if they respect. It's a very interesting dynamic. I'm very excited to see how that thing plays out in San Francisco, because I think it's dynamic.
Sorry to cut you off, but when you saw the news yesterday, I think everybody had a smile on their face.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah.
I know I was a grumpy old man when I was texting you last night, because I was like, $12.5 million in 27 seems a little high, but we'll see. We'll get there. It's a different conversation for another day. But it's more so like, hey, it's the Kobe Bryant contract. Hey, man, thanks for being here for all these years. Thanks for not going anywhere. Here's an added bonus.
Well, that's exactly right. Right? Yeah.
And it was a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
They split into 2 years. But I think yesterday when everybody saw that news, it was like, all right, Because, I mean, that ovation on opening day is going to be nuts.
Well, it is. It is because he's just solidified himself as the second greatest player in franchise history. He'll have a statue at 119th and Knoll. He'll have his number retired, and it'll be great. You know, this is what we've wanted. This is the coolest thing ever. And I was talking to Mac before the show about, like, the importance of the Salvador Perez signing. This generation, the young generation now, finally has that player. Like, our generation had George, and very fringe for our generation.
Mine
let's be
was
honest.
Sweeney.
But yeah, right. But and then we got to this era when George retired to Salvi, and you had Mike Sweeney. And that was pretty much it. Wonderful human being, great baseball player. But for about two generations, there really wasn't that player that fans could grab onto. Now we have Salvador Perez. Hopefully Bobby Witt is the next guy that stays here long-term. And we start building that up again where the kids can walk around and be fans of the team and not feel like they're going to get sauce gardenered when they buy a jersey and they know who's going to be here for a long period of time.
No doubt about it.
And the 660 points out that the KC has two guys like that, and it's extremely special in Salvador Perez and Travis Kelce at the same time. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Both will be Hall of Famers. Maybe we go to both Hall of Fame inductions.
Hell yeah.
Travis probably going to happen first, right?
Sure.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, you had to wait 5 years in both leagues.
Right.
Yep.
Salvador Perez.
What year is this? 25. So 30 for 32 for Salvi and 30 for Travis.
Sounds good.
Good Lord.
If he's done.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. Wednesday, Fesco and Dusty poll question on X, 913-586-7965. You can tune in as well. I know a lot of you have tuned out on X, but if you haven't, go to our Twitter page, Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Weekly poll question this week is the grade for the first half of the season. We talked a little bit about it yesterday for the Kansas City Chiefs. We obviously will dive more into the trade and why the Jets said no. But what grade do you give the Chiefs for the first half? A, B, C, or D? That simple. You can't give an F. The only people that get an F are like the Raiders, the Jets. Like, you have to just be catastrophically terrible.
Yeah.
But
Tennessee.
A, B, C, or D. What grade do you give the Chiefs in the first half? You can find that at the Fan 965 on X, or you can text in 913-586-7965 when it comes to our poll question. What grade do you give the first half of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs? A, B, C, or D. Speaking of B, we'll go to our guy, Binkley, on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
There's juice all over the place.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Trey Smith, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Tobacco, football, and booze. He knows Bobby Bowden. He knows Pete Carroll. He likes a 3-4 defense. He's Jay Binkley.
That's right. It's Jay Binkley time. Binkley, ready to go fight the internet with me? All these guys that are being a-holes to Paige Spiranek on her Instagram DM saying that she sucks. She thinks she knows everything. She can't play golf. What do you say, man?
Oh, man. Whatever, man. If she's sitting across from you at a bar table or something like that, you really saying that?
No, you're going to say, hey, how long you been hot?
You'd be like, how you doing?
Yeah, no doubt about
it. How long has the average person been hot, Jay? I mean, I know you've asked those questions before.
I mean, Carly Ritter's still got it on the news.
Bob, and I know you're the king of good questions.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. You would appreciate this, but you ask them how long you've been hot, because some girls aren't. Like, you can go back to your 10-year reunion, and you're like, whoa, where was that? Where was that in high school? I'm serious. That's what you think about. You're like, wow. You know, how you doing? You know, those kind of things, like, when did you turn hot? Because I think it's a legitimate question, because I think people do turn hot at a certain point.
When did you turn hot, Jay?
1981.
I never have.
Oh, okay.
Well, hey.
Never have, Bob.
Well, Binkley, stay hot, because we asked our poll question today. What do you give the Chiefs grade for the first half of the season, A, B, C, or D? What is Jay Binkley? What is Professor Bink Nasty give the Chiefs grade this
hot
year?
Hot nasty.
I would have to say a B, to be honest with you. I think they're, you know, their ceiling clearly A level, but B only because you didn't have Rashee Rice for six games. I think he does make a difference with this team. I saw a team go to Buffalo, a tough road game, and not one of these teams like the Lions, like the Packers. Like the Packers sit there and have losses to the Browns and the Panthers. The Chiefs don't have that. Yes, they lost to Buffalo in Buffalo, and they still had a chance at the end of the game, despite how terrible they played, because they played like crap, and they almost had a chance to tie up the game at the end to a team that was playing great football on the road in Buffalo. I'd give them a B because I think it was incomplete until you get the kind of whole crew back. But these next couple games are going to be tough, obviously. The end of the schedule's gravy for the Chiefs. I really like how the schedule opens up in December, where their only road games are Tennessee and the Raiders. That is a favorable schedule, getting everybody at home and only having those road games. I'd say B at this point because it was kind of incomplete. You lost Simmons for four games. You didn't have Rice for six games. Worthy was banged up on the first play of the year, but I'd say B.
Jay Binkley with us here on 96.5 The Fan. Denver's obviously the next game coming up. You're already fretting about the Denver Broncos. Why?
Yeah, I think Denver is an interesting team to look at, and I heard you guys talking about it, and I think Dusty brought it up yesterday, that they're winning these close games, like the Chiefs did. Like, it would come down to the end. You know how it was last year. The Chiefs would block a field goal against the Broncos and win the game, or they'd have one doink off the uprights and beat the Panthers, but it didn't matter because they were still winning. Like, in the grand scheme of things, look, all right, they were still winning those games. That's what bothers me about the Broncos. Because even though they're coming back against the Giants and 33 points in the fourth quarter, even though they came back, thankfully, and beat the Texans because of our circuit bets, but they came back and beat the Houston Texans, but the bottom line is they're finding a way to win. And that should scare everybody. Because teams out there find ways to lose, like the Raiders against the Jags. They found a way to lose. They consistently find ways to lose. Unfortunately for the Broncos, they do have, obviously, a great defense. The offense, middle of the pack for them. Do I think it could get better? Yes. But the bottom line, we said that with the Chiefs. They were 15th in the NFL in points per game last year. But the bottom line was they were still winning. So a mark of a good football team, even though they play like crap or whatever, they still find a way to win the games. When you look back, you know, at the box scores 10 years from now, you say, well, they won that game. Who cares how they did it? They won the game. That's the scary part about the Broncos to me, is they're finding that way to win instead of lose it like bad teams do.
Yeah, you look at the Chiefs this year, and Mac was saying yesterday his tough Tuesday was Xavier Worthy because of the reports that came out that he was kind of tipping his pitches, per se, with the body language. What say you when it comes to that? Is that something that if you're Matt Nagy, you go right to Andy Reid's desk the day after you read that and say, we got an issue we need to fix?
Yeah, I think they will. I think this is an easy fix for the Chiefs. I'm sure Andy Reid is working on the bye week, but there's a lot of tells when you look at offensive linemen, you know, whether that hands, they used to be, and even Bob, when you played ball, you'd see the offensive lineman on the other side, they'd put that hand down, and if you could see red and not be white, you know, they're going to run the football. But there's all sorts of tells in football, but that's something easily that I think they can correct with Xavier Worthy. Not too worried about that with the Xavier, to be honest with you, Desi, because I think they can find a way to fix that. I can't believe they admitted it. Yeah. I can't believe they said they knew the tell. That was the weirdest thing to me, that they would even admit that and not just, you know, store that in the back of their mind for the playoffs. But that's Buffalo, and that's the crap they do because they don't win in the postseason.
Well, and also, too, I talked to somebody close to the organization yesterday about that, about the telltale sign of Xavier Worthy, and the response was like, really? Who said it? And I told him this Maxwell guy or whatever, you know, he goes, rookie? Yeah. What does a rookie know? But even still, the end of the conversation that I had was, thank you, Buffalo, for letting us know. Is there anything else you want to tell us about what Absolutely. We're doing wrong? Like, that was a dumb move by Buffalo to say that.
No, it was. It was. There's been a lot of dumb moves lately, Bob. I mean, yesterday in the trade deadline, really dumb moves from some teams like Indianapolis. So lots of dumb moves to be had in football, Bob.
All right, let's look at the college football playoff rankings, Jay. They came out yesterday. Kansas State not involved. Missouri in there in the top 25 of this, obviously. You got Ohio State coming in at number one. What was your original kind of thought about seeing the first rankings?
First of all, it's kind of like Greg McElroy, who was on the broadcast last night, and he said this, because we've seen these a lot in basketball or college football through the years, and you may have a problem with a certain team ranked a certain way. And I like what he said is, I don't have any problem with these rankings. I thought they were great. And looking at them, I mean, these are the best teams. in college football. Yes, Oklahoma is the second team out, and Texas is the first team out. But you can make an argument. It's like, well, you know, they've lost a couple of games. I mean, so do they really deserve to be in the playoffs? They can clearly get there, as this was the first of the six rankings. But I like the rankings, and I love the fact they're seeding the top four. And they're not just giving those to conference champions. You know, so that is a big difference this year from last. You're taking who you perceive as the top four teams, and you're putting them there as the top four before you fill in the rest of the brackets. But I think it's great. Yeah, you can make an argument. Now, they are doing the five best conference champions, so obviously Memphis would get in here if you consider them a playoff team. Now, you can make the argument, is Texas or Oklahoma better than Memphis? That's an argument I'd listen to. But the bottom line is you have the best of the best in here. And how about the Big 12 getting some respect? I mean, three Big 12 teams are ranked higher than the first ACC team in the college football playoff bracket.
That's crazy, and that's good for the Big 12. Obviously, you want to see that you want to see the local teams kind of in there and getting the love and doing their thing. So I think a lot of people are, unless you're like an Ohio State fan or an SEC fan, I think the rest of the country is rooting for anybody but a Big 10 team or an SEC team to dominate this thing.
Yeah, and two of these teams, Texas Tech, that's the eighth seed, and BYU, the seventh. You know, they play this weekend. Only two games involved in both teams being ranked this weekend. And BYU and Texas Tech is one of them. That's a fun little Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes game.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Those two kind of going at it. All right, Jay, enjoy the bye week, my friend, right?
Hey, can I say one thing about Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Okay. They jumped the gun, man. Can't you just wait? Because Daniel Jones had a chance to go to Pittsburgh and play a good team. Okay, not a great team, and a decent team. And he threw three interceptions and fumbled twice. Fumbled three times, but lost two fumbles. So Daniel Jones had five turnovers in that game. Yeah, he put up 352 yards, but who did he do it against? Pittsburgh is the number 32 pass defense in the NFL. He has wins over Arizona, Tennessee twice, Miami, and the Raiders. Do you think we want to wait before we say, now maybe he turns out to be great. We don't know. Like, he's got the Chiefs in a couple weeks, but that Indianapolis schedule just now is starting to turn tough. Are we willing to bank the future on a guy that has two wins against the Titans? That's all I say.
Well, that's probably why they juiced up his team around him. Binkley, also want to give you some information. I don't know how often you shop at Hy-Vee, but Jack's Pizzas are $3 a piece right now.
Yeah, I shop there all the time, Des, man. I'm waiting for that Mother's Winter Grind beer to come in because I pretty much call them every day.
You're calling the grocery store asking if they have a beer?
You have to.
I do. I was talking to Dustin about this last night at the station because he will go in there and buy cases of the beer that he likes, but people do it, man, and they run out of it, man. Once Winter Lager sold out, they don't perpetually keep making this stuff like a Coors Light or a unfiltered wheat. I mean, you got to get in there and get it. So, yeah, I'm waiting for this to come to Hy-Vee, Bob.
So you call the grocery stores? Do they have your number as do not answer when they see it pop up on caller ID?
Yeah, right. That's income. I hope so.
There's also a few liquor stores I will call as well. And the text line always reminds me, that, hey, I got this beer, and they brag about it like they always do.
That's all right, baby.
All right, Jay, we appreciate it. We'll see you in a couple hours. Well, I should probably see
a couple minutes. He's probably in the parking lot right now. Are you in the parking lot? Please say you're in the parking lot.
No, I'm not in the parking lot. I'm still at home, but I'll be there shortly.
We'll see you.
Later, Binkley.
See you, Jay. Hey, I found that tweet. Our guy, True Green Thumb, retweeted it from the guy who said that Daniel Jones is an elite quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
His name is Sam Block at the Block Spot, and he said he works for ESPN. I'd never heard of the guy, right? Colts have the best cornerback in football, best running back in football, best line in football, best wide receiver tight end room. They have an elite franchise quarterback. They have an elite head coach. Laugh all you want. They're ending the Chiefs dynasty.
Okay. Well, they're a playoff team, and the Chiefs aren't. So congrats to the Colts for winning the regular season in Week 10. By the way, shout out to Justin and Sarah. They are celebrating their 20th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
They live in Tonganoxie, so maybe Ralph can be some help here. And they want to know what they should do for their 20th anniversary dinner.
Oh, wow. Where they should go. 20th anniversary. That's a big one.
I'm team surprise your wife and be like, hey, honey, I went and got a couple steaks, maybe throw in like a little crab leg if you're into that. Get a little Caesar salad, make that as well. That's my way to do it.
A cooked meal does go a long way.
That way you don't have to mess. It's gonna be like 72 degrees today.
But I also have a wife who likes to go out. And
sometimes when you're celebrating 20 years, go do it. So shout out to Justin and Sarah. Happy 20th anniversary.
Text line, give us suggestions on a good 20th anniversary spot, you know, because go somewhere I would say that you haven't been.
Yeah, try something
try
new.
Try something new, just totally different. Like
Max, like triple tippers.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Chili's. Like if you're in Overland Park and you have never been up to the Northland, find a restaurant up there. Or if you live in Lee Summit and you have not been downtown, find a restaurant there. Explore a new area of town. Go to the west side, you know, of Kansas City's downtown over there. There's some good restaurants over there. There's great spots around. So I'm interested in what people would say for your 20th, you know, wedding anniversary, because I got our 20th anniversary coming up in January of our first date. Now, I don't know if that's supposed to be a deal or anything like that, but, you know.
That's cool that you have the date for the first date, though. That's awesome.
It's hanging on my wall in the house.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So shout out to Justin and Sarah. Give them some ideas on the text line, 913-586-7965. Where do they celebrate their 20th anniversary?
You'll love that.
Get back to our text line as well, and the fan reaction of what was yesterday of the trade deadline here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear from ESPN's Nate Taylor every Thursday at 8:20. Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.